Thanks, Ron. This is something you get used to. So this morning, as I was preparing for this, I laughed because as I was preparing, I've kind of in my mind how the sermon is going to go. And towards the end of the sermon, I said, okay, I kind of in my mind said, Lord, we want many salvations for this sermon. And as I was doing like a kind of an altar call, kind of playing it out how it would go, I was saying, and looking at myself in the mirror, I kind of finished my sentence, my fly was open. And I said, Lord, please help me today. So, Lord, please help me today. I'm just a bit overwhelmed by this worship this morning. It was incredible. There's something about God wanting to bring us back to devotion. And Ruan was briefly sharing on that, and that's what we're going to do the next month or so. Well, month of November. And it starts off with prayer and radical devotion, and that's basically what the early church did. And it basically rings to the concept of revival. It's when the church rises up, those who already believe take the call very seriously on their lives, and there's like this radical devotion to Jesus. And that's what I'm praying for, and that's what I'm trusting God for. And this sermon kind of builds onto that this morning, and I'm trusting that God will really, if I can use the word, mobilize us into this community. And the title of my sermon this morning is, We Need to Go. We need to go because we need to go. And we need to go because Jesus told us so. 1 Timothy 2 verses 4 to 6. If we can just get up that. There we go. This is Jesus. This is Paul speaking about Jesus. It says, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for men, for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Just linking on to that, I want to quickly build on this. Some of you guys have seen this as text and everything, but what does it mean? Some of you don't know Jesus yet, and this morning, I'm going to start off with this and say, well, Jesus, there was a separation between us and God, and there's only one person that made this possible, and his name is Jesus Christ. See, we're all broken, we're all fallen, we've all sinned, we've all done wrong stuff before, and it's in our very DNA, it's in our very nature to sin. Why? Because there was a fall of mankind since the beginning of time. And then that was a need why Jesus had to come, because he had to come and fulfill, show us that by our own strength, we can never, ever, ever, ever achieve righteousness. It's only possible that through him, and in order to prove that to us, he had to die, give himself up as a sacrifice, but to prove that he was the worthy one, he had to rise again. That's showing that there's no power that has a grip over him. Yet, if he just died and stayed dead, there would be no significance to Jesus' life. He would just be another man making a claim, and that claim would have been an empty claim. But Jesus went a further step. He said he bled out almost every single drop of blood he had, and then he proved that he had dominion over life and rose again on the third day and showed us that in him he could fulfill basically the whole law. Basically, our righteous requirement for salvation. Sounds very interesting if I explain it from that way. And so, we need Jesus in our life to bridge the gap between ourselves and God. Cool. That's the foundation of this text. Let's carry on. So, once we get saved, we walk this journey with God and we get to a point where we start maturing in our faith, we start learning about Jesus, we accept Jesus, and we start getting excited about who he is. But attending church on a daily Sunday, for most, is a norm. We like to come to church, we love to be comfortable, I like to sit on a seat. If I was to say, Justine, if I remove your chair, Justine, what would you do? Four. No. If you ask to say stand up and I remove your chair, you're sitting comfortable right now, right? Let's say that we're sitting on the only chair. You'd stand. And after about an hour, what would you do? Take your shoes off. And after another hour of that, what would you do? After another hour, would you kind of say you would kind of find a place to sit or lean against? So we're creatures of habit. We like to find the next comfort. We like to be comfortable. We like to sit down. I don't like to have much stress on my body. It's comfortable for me to say yes to Jesus and kind of come to Sunday church and I'm going to sit on the seat and it's going to be nice. But the thing is, Jesus has this incredible way of calling us into action. And he's calling us to so much more. He's calling us to exercise our faith. And he's calling us to go. And most people ask these questions, but God, I get saved. But what are you calling me to? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And so many people pray. They said, well, I don't know what to do because God hasn't told me what he's called me to. And actually, there's a calling on each and every one of our lives. And it's to go. It says Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. This is Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to those who are believing in him. At that time, it was disciples who walked a close path with him. But he's calling and commanding us. He's commissioning us. And he's saying that, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always and to the very end of this age. That doesn't sound like, I hope I'm not offending people today, but if this is challenging you, it's good. It doesn't say that we need to attend church and make the church our place of habitation only. Yes, we have the gathering of saints, and there's a reason why we build. That's why we spoke about community, and we need to be among one another in each other's life. But he's calling us to a more radical step. He says, actually, we need to go and we need to tell the world about Jesus. He's commanding us to go. And if we don't go, we're not obeying the commandment of Jesus on our lives. This is not heavy on us. This is what Jesus has said. So we're going with the Bible plus nothing, minus nothing. And I hope that it's more of an encouragement to us this morning. And we're going to pray into that later. Cool. So please don't switch off. I rather want to challenge us today. And let's see where God wants to take. First part of the sermon, I want to ask us, why do we need to go? Well, I pretty much answered it with that scripture. But I want to pack it out a bit more for us. It's to grow. Number one is to grow. If you guys are making notes, I'll make some points for you guys so that you guys can go through the sermon on your own later. We need to grow, meaning you need to exercise your faith. That's why one of the reasons why we go. Well, we go because we're obedient, but pretty much if you don't exercise your faith, you become like this. Have you guys ever seen a fat sheep? A fat sheep. But just, if you have a sheep in a very, my mother-in-law is going to kill me and stone me if I say this, but my limit, I don't know so much about sheep, just a little bit. But if you have a sheep in a camp and you just feed them all the time, same as a chicken, it's going to grow really fast over time and it's going to become really fat, right? And it's not going to really, it's just going to become fatter and fatter. But if that sheep gets to eat and gets to walk it out, it's a field to actually go out, and in Afrikaans we say the word vey. I don't know, what is vey in English? Graze the field. If it's a nice wide open space, it kind of eats from the field, it gets to walk from point to where it's going to get its next meal, or grass, or what it's going to eat. That sheep is a bit more lean. It has some mass to it, but there's a bit more lean meat, there's less fat. And the thing is, when we sit on a Sunday and just receive and receive and receive and receive, we just become very lumpy and clunky in our faith. But those who are mature in their faith know very well, and those who have walked this journey, I know there's a lot of you here, know that you actually need to walk out your salvation. You actually need some exercise. You need to go and graze the field. And that's why Jesus is calling us out. He said we need to go, not because only for our growth. There's other reasons. But one of the reasons is we need to mature. So we need to go and graze the field. We need to actually go and exercise our faith. Otherwise, we become this clunky lump of a sheep, in its own term, that is a lot of knowledge in here, but not a lot is transferred in here, and not a lot of this transferred through us into the community or wherever we're working into. I remember going to Brazil last year, the privilege of going, and for me, I have this thing that because Jesus has told me to go, I want to go as well. And I asked God, well, where do you want to send me next? Where do you want me to go? We're always working to the community, and we're always kind of busy everywhere, and we're kind of into community groups. We're in locally, we are busy. But I often like to stretch my faith by going up because I need exposure to how different expressions of the faith, kind of not the adding stuff to the Bible, but I want to see how Brazilians worship God. I want to see our guys in Africa worship God. I want to see our guys in the Europe worship God and Australia worship God. I want to kind of see different expressions of the same God, because it says in the word that one day every knee and every tongue and every tribe will confess the name of Jesus. Everyone will bow before him. There's so many different expressions of the faith. But it's the same God, the same Jesus, the same truth, but everyone worships God differently. So, and also by me going, I'm trusting God that there's a different flavor to me, that when I'm going to a certain place, I'm going to impart something of that flavor into their lives as well. So we need to go, and we need to go. What time did I start? In 10 minutes. Oh, wow. Okay. So this goes really fast in front, yeah? Okay, see. Guys will know what it feels like. Cool. Point number two, we need to proclaim. Okay? We need to go and proclaim the word of God to people. Mark 16, verse 15 says, I've got that scripture. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16 says, you are a light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Your life is a reflection of Jesus. See, once we get saved, there's a reflection of Christ that we cannot hide. If there's a true salvation in our life, there's a repentant heart, there's something in us that starts portraying Christ, we're going to start seeing that, you're going to start very quickly realizing when you're at a braai, when you're among unsaved people, when you're in the public eye, you'll very quickly know that there's something in you that just can't be hidden. There's something different about you that you cannot hide it. Amen? You kind of feel it? It's just everything, like something of the world starts annoying you, and you just start feeling like, oh God, I've got something to share at all times. I've got this testimony in me about what Jesus has done. Everyone has something. When you accept Jesus, there's already a testimony alive that Jesus has saved you. That's your starting point of your testimony. There's a life-changing event that I took place. The truth that what you come to salvation with, that's there. And so we all got something there to proclaim to the world. And it's good that our lives shine for Jesus on a pedestal for all to see. But going back into that Mark 16, verse 15, he said to his disciples, he said to them that we need to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And if you highlight the word all creation, it says that actually we don't have a choice even to who we share it to. It's just wherever you go, there's something about Jesus that rings true. And you don't have a choice to who you're going to share it. You're just going to have to, it's just going to have to come up. Wherever you are, at work, if you ever want to ask someone, where do I need to share Jesus? It should be at home, it should be to your neighbors, it should be to your boss, to your colleagues, your at church, outside of church. If you're traveling, if you're going on holiday, if you are just at the shop, the mall, the till, wherever you are. Actually, there's no exclusion. Everywhere that you've got to go, there's got to be a reflection of Christ, and your life is a reflection of Christ. If you mess it up, guess what? You have to repent, and you have to just move on and do it better the next day. Because we're all going to stuff it up. It's just, we are in public eye. We are a witness for Jesus. That's it. There's no other way of putting it. If you mess it up, tomorrow is another day. Just throwing it out there. We don't get to share. God, we don't have the choice to really to we share the gospel. Jesus is calling us to preach it to all creation. Every living, breathing thing. And if you don't have an audience, preach it to your dog or your cat or your budgie. And I'm sure after a long, prolonged time of preaching, maybe they will respond and you will freak out. So we live evangelical lifestyles. Cool. Is everyone good? I seem very quiet. It is very loud. But it's cool. I'm enjoying this. Point number three. We go because we're obeying. I've already touched on it. So just write down Romans 1, verses 14 to 16. Oh, you've got it up on the board as well. Okay. It says, I'm obligated to both the Greeks and to the non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you in Rome. So this is Paul speaking. He's preaching out of his context. He's preaching out of where he is. He's preaching in terms of his immediate location, just to kind of give you a brief thing. So it doesn't mean we have to go to Rome, although God might be calling you to Rome. That would be wonderful. But I'll leave it there. But God is pretty much, Paul is speaking out of his own context there. So, and he's taking what Jesus said and he's putting that into action. He's saying, from verse 16, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Again, that was in their context. So they were first going, they were in the synagogues preaching to the Jews, and eventually God said, okay, well, take this message even further to the Gentiles. Spread it across the world. And that's why the gospel went into places like Rome. It started spreading all across Italy. It's spreading all across the world because it took what God has told them and has put it into action. Cool. That's to obey. So we are called to be obedient to God's calling on our lives to go and preach the gospel to every living, breathing thing. If you walk away today, say, what is the preach all about? It's that God is calling us to go and preach the gospel, which is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. He wants me to go and preach the gospel wherever I'm at. Then I think we've done well. Let's get some practical pointers. How do we proclaim the gospel? Ruan, you did it actually very well the other day. When you went to Oudtshoorn, that was your outreach. It was a local outreach opportunity. And I believe you took a team with you. You took Vince with you and Bianca with you and a couple of guys from Durbanville. If you're ministering, there's, even today that I'm here, I've got some supporters there in the third row. I've got all of you guys supporting here. But I've got Ruan as well saying, what are you preaching about? How's it going? I've got Roland. I sent him the message before I preached. The point here is that we work in team. When you want to go preach and you want to be effective, one of the biggest, most important things to note is that you cannot just do it alone. Yes, you're going to the shops alone and you get to preach and minister to someone, but there's someone that genuinely walks with you. If you're going to preach at a church, if you're going to pray for people, it's really good to pray in twos. It's so much so much better because there's always someone that covers your blind spot. Now, if I was, maybe that's just the joke of the day, but if I'm going, my fly's open, I'm trusting Ruan will take Tian, your fly's open like I had this morning. But it's a silly example. But there's someone with you that's got your back. There's someone with you that's out for the same goal that makes sure that you don't go off on a tangent and do your own thing. We don't start adding to the word or subtracting to the word, but we're actually preaching the word on target. I can be this radical street preacher calling everyone, say, you're going to turn or burn. Ruan might come and tell me, say, Tian, I've heard you preach on the street corner and I was there, but I would just take it from a different angle. I would just... It's not wrong what you're preaching, but you're burning everyone to hell what you want to preach, you know? You've got to kind of be, it kind of gives me some pointers, and I say, okay, cool. I take that, and I process that, and the next time on the street corner, if you want to put it that way, it's going to be sounding a bit different, I'm trusting, if you applied that, okay? So that's why we work in team. Just for references, if you want scripture, just because of time, I can't go there. But Luke 10, verses 1 to 20, it spoke when Jesus spoke. And Jesus sent out his disciples. He appointed 72 others with them. And he sent them out in twos. Sent them out two by two ahead of him to go and prepare kind of the people for the message that Jesus wanted to preach. Okay, and also Acts 13:13, when Paul sailed to Perga and Pamphylia, he actually had companions with him. He wasn't alone. Even this great Paul that wrote so many books in the Bible, even him, he preferred to not work alone. So, please, guys, as far as possible, work in team. Get a ministry partner. Get someone that holds you accountable. Get someone that's really there that you can share your life with, because our testimony needs to be on target. What do I mean by that? Doesn't mean we need to be perfect, but there's someone that just says, you know, Tian, you can't just go and just running guns blazing, but you need to maybe consider this or consider that or consider that. So someone that's on team with you. I think we get the point. Point number two. So that was the practical point. How do we proclaim the gospel? Working team, point number one. Point number two is by speaking it. Hebrews 10 verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So, in other words, you won't know about God until you hear about God. I can live a good lifestyle as Tian, and you guys will know if I'm, let's say I'm at a braai, I'm at a social, I'm just braaiing with one friend or 10 friends, doesn't matter. I can't just model Jesus only with my lifestyle by being, in inverted commas, a good Christian and living moral, high moral values, which is based on the word of God. I've got to actually open my mouth and speak it. No one will know until you speak it. Communication is one of the highest forms of communication. Speaking it, verbal communication. You don't know what you don't know. So we can't lead people into salvation just by looking at our lifestyles only. We've got to get to a point and say, okay, I'm modeling this lifestyle. So my lifestyle reflects Jesus, which is incredibly important. Our lifestyles need to reflect Jesus. Otherwise, we become imbalanced. There's some other issues there which we need to adjust and walk out, and that's why accountability and team is so important. But we also need to get to a point of actually asking someone and say, hey, we're talking about the rugby. We won yesterday for 80 minutes. The rand was stronger than the pound. You know, whatever. You talk, and then you get to a point where you say, okay, tell me more about your life, what you do, what your hobbies are. This is a nice practical example. Then you get to a point and say, okay, what do you believe in? Well, I believe in having a happy life, happy wife, or fill in the blanks. And from that point, you get to kind of build a conversation of sharing your faith. Because he might ask you, what is your life about? What is important to you? And he says, well, my importance of my life is Jesus. And he says, well, tell me more. Or don't tell me more. But generally, let's say they want to know more. We actually need to tell them about Jesus. And if they're interested or not interested, doesn't matter, tell them about and share our lives with people. We share the gospel with people. And we tell them about, like, just like I started off the sermon, by taking a simple scripture and just explaining what that scripture means about Jesus, bringing us to connection with God, because we cannot achieve it on our own. You kind of have to explain that to people, otherwise they won't understand it. Because the gospel is a mystery to those who are unsaved. And then you've got to get them to a point and say, okay, well, based on this, what you've heard, is that something you're interested about? And lead the conversation from there. Get them to pray a salvation prayer. You might just be one of six people that gets to plant a seed. Maybe they move on. But we need to get a point where we actually tell them about the gospel and they need to respond. That kind of makes sense. You guys all with me? I'm very quiet. Okay. I'm just keeping track of time. Sure. Cool. Lastly, where do we proclaim the gospel? I mentioned it before. I said everywhere. Everywhere we can go. I want to encourage us as a body this morning. Find opportunities to go spread the gospel. Look for places to put in the name of Jesus. Go look for it, because you won't find it until you look for it. You won't just stumble upon it. Sometimes you will, but generally you won't stumble upon it. You're going to have to kind of push in there and go find opportunities to go preach it. And when I say preach it, I'm not talking from this pulpit. I'm talking from your bras. I'm talking about bras in a different areas, into among friends, neighbors. You're going to probably, the most common way of sharing the gospel is actually be one-on-ones. It's not like I'm preaching every single Sunday. This is the first time in 2 years, 2.5 years, we were talking about yesterday, that I've actually preached. What happened in 2.5 years? Now, I haven't shared the gospel with anyone. I'm just waiting for the next time I'm getting to the pulpit. It doesn't work. So we kind of have to live a daily lifestyle to share and proclaim the gospel message with people. That's not just our exercise. That is our lifestyle. Cool. For me, that is the most powerful way that I've seen people come to salvation, is on the one-on-ones. It's not actually from the pulpit. Because once we leave this place, we go do what others maybe don't see. And it's in that way that's kind of the pinnacle point where our faith really gets put to the test. Our faith really gets put into the action. And our faith really gets to be stirred up, because God wants to do incredible things. Just go listen to what God is saying for you for the day. And He will carry you through. And He will show you so many opportunities to go and preach the gospel. Go find them. Go search for them. Like someone that is really desperate for those souls. I often pray and say, God, please, I don't feel like it today, but give me, please, please, just give me a heart for the lost like you do. Because in my own strength, I'll just go and find the next point of comfort. And that's go sitting in the nearest chair or at my house, or just not sharing about the gospel, because that's my default. I'm just being vulnerable. You're not alone in this process. Acts 1 verse 8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You're not alone. If you ever feel like, man, I don't have the strength even to tell people about Jesus, I'm really just, I don't know what to do. There's a person with the name of Holy Spirit. And that person lives inside of us and speaks to us every day. If you accept Jesus Christ, you see the Holy Spirit. But this Spirit that is, this what he's talking about here, is where people get baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's a man called Peter in the Bible. He believed in Jesus. He wanted to get it right. He really desperately wanted to get it right. And he keeps on going. But the more he wants to get it right, he just doesn't. And in his own strength, he tries to go and preach the gospel or tries to do things. But in his own strength, he ends up denying Jesus. At that time, was being crucified on the cross. It's a true event. It's recorded. He goes and denies Jesus. He doesn't get it right. He falls. He stumbles. Jesus rises from the dead and restores Peter. He says, Peter, go and feed my sheep. See, Peter's heart was repented. He repented. Another guy messed it up. His name was Judas. See, his repentance, he looked at his, the thing is, Peter went to Jesus and he asked him for forgiveness and he repented of what he did. But Judas didn't know what to do. He went to go look inside himself for an answer. He wanted to get in. And the difference is, Peter went on his life. Judas hanged himself. Both messed up. One went to his own devices. The other one went to God's devices. It's very important in this point. And Jesus told him to, okay, wait until I give you my Holy Spirit. He empowers Peter, with the power of the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, receiving power. By the way, we can explain that to you. If you have questions on that, please come ask. I'm happy to explain it to you. He receives power, and he gets up, and he preaches, this time unashamedly, ready to die. He's not going to deny Jesus, and thousands get saved. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit gives you this conviction. He relied on God's Spirit. He didn't rely on his own self to go preach the gospel. And as a result, there's fruit. And so when we go out to minister, rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Even this is, maybe my words are a bit broken, but if I try to rely on my own strength this morning, I will fail because I've no experience in my own devices. I have no power or weight to my words in my own devices. It's only by the Spirit that I can do what I'm doing this morning. I've got this neck pain here. I've been praying all morning for it to go. It's like this neck spasm. It's much better now. I cannot do it in my own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. And that's me. Let's quickly pray. Father, we thank you for this simple message, Lord, of going. Going and seeking out the lost and seeing them to a point of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to go. And even more so, Lord, you've said to us that you will never, ever be alone because I'm with you. It's by your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that as I'm talking right now, that you will come and work into every heart today. And I pray, Lord, that you would come and almost, although you've commissioned us to go, but I pray, Lord, that you will come and increase that urgency to go, because there's lost out. The people that don't know, that didn't have the privilege of responding to you like we did, people need to know about you. So I pray, Lord, that that conviction rise up in our hearts this morning. Would you come and mobilize us with a desperation, say, Jesus, we need to go because we need to go. And if we fail in this area, I pray, Lord, that you'll stir every heart to repentance this morning. So if that's you this morning, and saying, even this simple message of going, but I failed in this area quite often. But I want to go. I want to be a blessing. I want to share the good news of Jesus Christ in my daily life. I want to go out, maybe even on a mission trip. I want to go and preach the gospel to those who have not yet heard. I want to come and bring a flavor to those who are maybe on different locations, to bring a flavor of Christ that will encourage them, that will maybe get them devoted, but get them encouraged to just keep on going where they maybe felt like they wanted to give up. If that's you, and you feel like you want to respond, I want to call a radical response this morning. Don't you want to stand up for me? Not for me, stand up for Jesus. If that's in your heart, say, Jesus, I want to go. I want to make a difference wherever I'm at. Use me, God. Come, Holy Spirit, come work with me. Would you please stand? I'm standing as well this morning. Father, I want to thank you for everyone that's standing here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that it's in your heart to see the lost saved. You want to bring all men and women into reconciliation with God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I pray, Lord, that you would come and stir hearts for these men and women standing here today, that you will come and bring such a radical devotion to you, Jesus, that no matter what men come trying to extinguish, but by the Spirit, that there will be a flame that burns for the lost, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you will burn in us, Lord Jesus, your radical conviction of getting lives changed. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'll come and empower each and every heart standing here, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you will make us effective wherever we go. In Jesus' name. We thank you for this wonderful call to go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Tian. Lord,